that I may speak in the name and to the glory of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. I wonder, what did you see when you left your home this morning? How did the world look as you gazed upon it? Was it ordinary, same as ever, pretty unremarkable? Or did some beauty, wonder, and glory strike you afresh and inspire a moment of thanksgiving and praise to God? Or on this rather grey day, did the world look a bit bleak and menacing, somewhat dark and frightening? Did you wonder, can I get enough out of this world for myself to see me through? What about the people you've seen and met, maybe walked past or greeted this day? How have you perceived them? Did they appear as wonderful, unique gifts from the Lord, created in the beauty of God's wonderful image? Did the sight of your brothers and sisters fill you with delight and lift your heart to God in praise and glorification? Or did the women and men with whom you share the planet look a bit different, as though they might be people who'd get in the way or get what you want rather than yourself? Did the people around us look like competitors to whom we didn't want to lose? A theologian of the early church said that there are three ways of looking at the world, three ways of perceiving God's creation and the people and things within it. The first is the way of the angels whom we ponder on this their feast day. The angels look at God's creation and they see his grace and glory and generosity. The angels see the things and people that God has made and they marvel at his majesty and his mystery. The angels look upon the world and it moves their hearts to joy and their lips to praise. For angels are filled with delight and vision and wonder. They have the imagination to see into the heart of all things and to worship God. The second way of looking at the world belongs to the demons, the devil's angels, in that reading from Revelation. The demons look at creation and they ask, what can we get out of this? How can we control it, possess it, stuff it into our greedy little egos and possess it? The demons see the things and people that God has made as opportunities to make themselves enriched and powerful. They don't praise God. They fantasize about how high and mighty they are. The demons lack imagination, unlike the angels. Maybe that's why, according to the book of Revelation, ultimately their way will lose. So two ways of looking at the world. The angels as a springboard for praise. The demons just wanting to use it to make themselves big. But I said there was a third way, didn't I? Have you guessed what that is? It's the human way. And it's a mixture of the first two. Sometimes we see the world with angelic eyes. It comes as gift and glory and inspires us to worship and praise God. Sometimes we see the world and we just ask, how can I get and gain and win? I wonder how the world looked to you as you started this day. Jacob was a human being. A very human being, in the sense that his gifts and skills came along with flaws and failings in plenty. And as we read his story in Genesis, we find that he quite frequently sees the world a bit like the demons do. He wants to win and accumulate, to beat his brother and get as much stuff as he can. Do you remember the tale when one day Esau comes in from hunting? He's famished. He's about to faint. Jacob has some food. In the Authorized Version, it's called a mess of pottage. In the modern Bible, it's called a lentil stew. Neither is terribly appetizing to me, but Esau wants it. Jacob doesn't think, how might this stew work to God's glory? How might it spread love and grace throughout the universe? He asks, what can I get out of it? How can I profit from my mess of pottage? So he says, you can have the stew, brother, but your birthright as eldest son must be mine in return. Jacob looks at the world in a human way, and often his vision has a bit of the demonic within it. But in our first reading today, we found another side to Jacob. His tricks and treachery have got him in trouble at this point in the story. He's fleeing for his life. And maybe his vulnerability makes him open to God. Who knows? But he receives a vision in a dream. And it is an angelic vision. He sees a ladder, a link between heaven and earth, with angels going up and down upon it. He sees the place where he is as a meeting point between the earthly and the heavenly realms, a place where angels descend with messages from God and go back carrying the concerns of God's people. And in this vision of the world for Jacob, it's no longer a theatre of fights and conflicts, gains and losses. It's a place where you can meet the living God. And Jacob hears his promise, I am with you, and I will keep you wherever you go. I reckon how we see things and people does matter. It impacts what we do with our lives, the choices, actions and behaviours, the priorities that we make. If we could see the world more thoroughly as a miraculous gift, a fragile and precious grace from God, then I wonder, maybe we'd ponder the serious threats to our planet and take action and do more. And if we just see the people around us as unconnected individuals who may well have nothing in common, if we treat human beings as vessels for transmitting DNA from generation to generation, then there's really no obligation or motivation to love our neighbours, or even to prioritise civility above competition. But what if we received that angelic vision and saw our neighbours as divine creations fashioned in the image of God? Wouldn't that change things somewhat and shape the way that we behave? For example, and I know I'm pushing the boat out here, but what about the members of the House of Commons? If they knew that each and every one of those people on the green benches was a child of God and held that at the front of their minds, would that make a difference to our public life? Of course, there'd be differences, disagreements, there'd need to be debates. But if they shared something of the angelic vision as they spoke to one another, what difference could that make to the conduct of Parliament's business and the way that our politicians serve our nation? Jacob was human. After that amazing vision and powerful encounter with God, he often went back to his human, opportunistic ways. But that glorious moment stayed with him. The vision remained in his memory and he passed it on to his children. They passed it on to the corporate memory of the people of Israel by writing it down as scripture. And so it's there for us, these thousands of years later on, to read and ponder and ask if it has anything to say to our 21st century lives today. And as we do that, we need to know that we have a new ladder to climb. Jesus, the Son of Man, who spoke of himself in those terms in our gospel. He's the one on whom the angels now ascend and descend. He's the one who makes that link between heaven and earth. He's the one who lets us see that the world is more than stuff to gain, but a place where we can see and meet and serve God. He's the one on whom that angelic traffic moves, uniting heaven and earth in love and praise. So why not look for Jesus this morning as we think of his angels? Look for Jesus in the sacrament of the altar. Look for him among the people that make up his body. See his world, if even for a moment, with angelic eyes. And I pray that something of that vision might stay with us day to day and shape our speaking and thinking of acting during the week. I pray that something of that vision might remain till we come to its fullness in heaven and lose ourselves among the angels in wonder, love, and praise.